Hi, Danny.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How about you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for being here. It's an honor.
It's a pleasure. Since you invited me, I was really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm really happy and excited to have a conversation with you. I've never had a conversation with a local musician.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so it's an honor to be the first one
So,
then.
what's your real name?
Oh yeah, I get this question a lot, and I usually make people guess because I find it funny how people sometimes give me the weirdest names. But actually, my real name is Ennis, and I know, yeah, a metal musician who's called Ennis, so that's weird.
That's too fast.
Yeah, I know. I guess it makes for better like alter egos because I
Yeah.
can be like the exact opposite of my name, so it sounds cooler.
Yeah, where did Danny come from?
Actually, Danny has kind of a weird story. I've been called Danny as a kid a lot, like my aunt, and just happened. Then I didn't use it much. I think till about 2010 or 11 or sometimes around that, I was starting to like create this persona. And the whole idea between Danny is basically I tried to create someone who would have been my idol. So I started like building up character, like the teenage thing, and it just stuck around and became my artist name, I guess, my stage name.
Ah, that's a beautiful story. And will Danny or your musician character?
Both of them actually started together, I think. Because I started getting interested in music around that time and started learning to, do the metal screams and all that. It was the same time I started building that character, so.
Yeah, how did you get into metal in the first place?
Actually, metal has kind of always been in my family. My mother used to listen to metal. She's an 80s
Wow.
child, so
That
80s was.
that's so atypical.
So it just came from that, but as a kid, you sometimes grow out of it. So I started like listening to rap and other things. Then in teenagehood, it just went back on its own and started listening again to rock and metal songs. And I had just that moment when I thought, okay, you know what? This is what I want to
Oh,
That's, yeah.
cool. And did you go to school? I mean, college. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I did. That was one hell of a, I don't know if I call it failure, but I didn't like it much. I went to college or university. I studied English, surprise, surprise. Actually, there's a reason why I studied English, which people sometimes find funny. I did it so I could be lazy and focus on my music and still get like good grades and pass.
Yeah, that's a good strategy, Aslan.
Yeah, so it just worked.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and that's how you're teaching, right? Using your English degree.
Exactly. And I'm not teaching just English, by the way. Teaching way too many subjects, to be honest. Teaching French also, and teaching music and some basic computer stuff. I don't know how you call it in English. Some, that high school stuff they teach you.
In a private
Yeah.
school?
Yeah, I'm teaching in a private school.
How is private schools in Algeria? I've never been to one. Is it like better than the public ones?
I would say better because usually there's a lower number of students or pupils in the classrooms. So teachers usually get a chance to focus better on the skills of the students and pupils and the more lacking sides of them. And they can focus on them and make them better. So I would have loved to have studied in one, even if I had great memories in public school.
Yeah, me too. And did you have any like performance in Algeria?
Yeah, actually, I've had many. but I guess the biggest one which made the news, I don't know if you remember, back in 2017, I guess, or 18. I guess, yeah, 18, when the whole news about, you know, Abadat Shayatin Filjaza, like all that, what happened. That was actually Met Algeria, which is a concert in which I played.
So you did the concerts in Algiers and Douhra and Hakka, or like you did in other places?
I guess Algiers and Oran, yeah. Wahran and Algiers. That's pretty much it. We had a lot of things planned in Constantine, but it never worked out. It always went wrong. Always something happening here. You know how this country sometimes is, especially when it comes to genres of music like this.
Yeah, exactly. Because I wanted to ask you if you felt the reaction, reaction in Algiers and Wahran would be like more accepting than Wilayat Dakhiliya.
I don't know about that because I didn't have much experience outside those districts or wilayas or whatever you call them in English. But I think it wouldn't be much different because in those big towns, there's still like a huge number of people who would be against those things. Actually, more of a chance of people protesting these things than outside places. Because I think a lot of people have the wrong idea about metal and they don't understand it. And actually, we give them merit because quick history lesson, the reason why metal has those satanic images sometimes, and why it's meant to be scary because it's meant to be non-conformist. And metal started in places where especially Christian religion was taking over and people were getting sick of the church and all that. And they need people to wake up. So the whole metal idea was anti-Christian, even if most of them were actually Christians. It was just shock. The shock element was about it. Especially attracting people who didn't feel understood by society, attracting especially teenagers who felt like they were frustrated, they had a lot of energy, nowhere to put it out. Listening to metal beats the hell out of school shootings or whatever. And I'm gonna get you demonetized on YouTube, sorry.
I didn't know that, lie. It was like protesting.
That's the idea.
Against the church. Yeah, that's
exactly
great.
Not just the church, I mean all society, especially like metal was one of the first to speak about I know it's a weird subject and people might not agree about my opinion about it, but metal was one of the first genres to actually be pro transgenders, starting from hair metal in the 80s, where actual dudes were dressing up as women.
It was like the
metal is a very vast genre, so you don't have to agree with everything in it, and there is a little bit of everything for everyone. So
and
there isn't just one metal.
Yeah, what is your metal? What is your message through this kind of music?
Well, mine is a bit hard to define. I like a bit a mixture of two things. I like to do like double messages. For example, my first album, which is called Conflict, was somewhat political in its nature, but it had also like another meaning. It was more of a, let's call it a letter from a somewhat bipolar or somewhat schizophrenic person trying to figure out who they are and their character and all those episodes coming in the way and not letting them really get in contact with their own selves. So that was like, it had two meanings, the whole album. And the whole idea between in the album is I created this imaginary stories like Earth was destroyed by pollution and humanity has decided to like build a ship called Leaf and go out to find or to go to one of the exoplanets, Kepler, I forgot the name of it, but like, I really love these things. They go into one of these planets and try to habitat it and like create like Earth 2.0. Doesn't go out so well. They get lost in a black hole. They found themselves in another universe. And it was weird for them to comprehend which is why the album had like a lot of mixtures. You find metal with funk, with oriental music, and it's a weird album, and I'm proud of it. And also, like, I could have done some things better about it, but I'm proud of that album mostly.
Okay, and how many albums did you have?
Well, I have that first one, then an EP. An EP is like a shorter album, which I released last year, I think February or something around that. I had one non-official SoundCloud album. I don't know if I would call it an official album. It was long ago. It would qualify as my first one, but I don't know. It's a weird thing in the music business to identify first album, because officially on paper, Conflict in 2017 is my first album. So that makes it about three albums and two singles, I think. Yeah.
Okay, and will you send me a free version of those?
Yeah, of course. Signed if you want. I mean, I don't have any physical copies right now, but I can get you some.
A signed one. I'd love a signed one.
That'd be great. So, what I was saying, music industry in itself is already weird, and being a metal musician in the weird, in this weird music industry is one hell of a ride.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, what do you think about the music industry in Algeria as a general, and the metal industry in Algeria to be more specific?
Well, it's very difficult to define the music industry in Algeria, because it's kind of absent in a way, not completely, but in a way it's kind of absent. Because it's not organized, we don't have any infrastructure for it, like proper infrastructure. And music industry in the world is dying, and a new model has shown up, and it's basically streaming, which doesn't work out so well for musicians. In Algeria, we don't even have online payment. And that is a big obstacle for artists. So they have to like have offshore accounts, or sometimes use international labels, or sometimes music labels from outside the country. And that's the only way they can make money. But also, streaming doesn't make you money in Algeria, because there are no ads, basically. Well, almost no ads. So an artist here doesn't really have many income sources, if any. And the whole cliche, like, people have to play like Rai music to get by, because that's the only thing that actually pays and has not stable, but somewhat stable income, because you play those clubs and cabarets and everything, and it gets you like a decent pay, actually. And that's the only thing you can do. Like, if you have a jazz musician or a metal musician or anything else, basically, it's difficult. Unless your name is Soul King, which is a whole other story. Because that one, I could anger some people if I say what I wanted to say about it here, but like, I'm not a fan of his music. I think that much people know. But the whole business model and everything is just broken to me.
I want you to talk about your opinion about Soul King, because everyone is mind blown by him. So let's hear in unpopular opinion.
I admire some of the things he managed to do. Like, he set his mind on a goal and he went to get it. The thing is, his music is, this is the weird thing, because even with myself, I don't necessarily agree with myself all that much, because his music is not like of the top quality, like of musicianship or anything. It's business. It's music that's meant to sell and nothing more. It's not meant as an artistic expression, I think. I don't know what he's thinking or what he's trying to do for sure, but this is how it feels. It's like there's a formula, and this is the formula that best sells the song and gets the most views and most money, and et cetera, et cetera. And I respect that in a way, because he's trying to make a living and get famous. This is his goal and he's achieving it. But as a musician, also as someone who's a fan of complex music, I'm let down that this is what's popular right now. I mean, this is what people consider like top of the line quality music, and it's sad. It's really sad in a way. It's like, this is gonna sound insulting, but I feel like if you brought Picasso in our time, and if you brought a child who is just coloring books, the child would get like more attention and would get like praised more than Pablo Picasso. Even if some even think Pablo is not a good painter, but that's a whole other debate.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But the question is, do you think that Soul King would have made it if he stayed in Algeria?
Honest answer, no. I don't think so. Because it's not a fact, but what I think is most Algerians kind of, you don't have credibility in their eyes unless you recognize somewhere else. Because we have this idea that whatever is local here is of poor quality. I mean, it's a justified idea. It's not like it didn't come out of thin air. But people always have this idea that if people in other countries like it, then it must be good. That's flawed. And this is how an artist has to make it basically right now, because they always, like, even for myself, I noticed when I started getting like some fans from other countries, I had some local metalheads and metal fans be more active and be more responsive or be more respectful. That was interesting, to say the least. So would he have made it here? No. We don't have the resources. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the support from anybody. And anybody would be lying if they said he would have had the same support if he started here and did it here.
Yeah.
That's
the fact that the infrastructure, people who would sponsor you, who would invest in you, all of these things wouldn't have come to him if he was in Algeria. He got it because he was in France, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's sadly like that. I mean, it's not unique to us. It happens in many other countries. But I think it's kind of letting a lot of great artists here in the shadow. I mean, even if the genres I wouldn't agree with, like, I know that a lot of artists don't get the chance they deserve. And Algeria is the same thing. This is how Arai is working, basically. It sells. Like, if you see Warda Charlemonte and all those people, they are living memes in a way, and they sell their products. And even if to other people they are somewhat like they see them seriously, they take them seriously and not don't see them as a meme, it still works in both sides. And that blows my mind, actually.
Yeah.
They are best at selling their product right now among artists in Algeria. No one can deny that.
Yeah, and what do you think about Rye music?
Well, I'm obviously not a fan of it, but recently, like I posted in the group about bad music not actually existing, because it's a very, very subjective thing. And music in its purpose is actually, it has an emotional purpose more than anything. And if that Rye music actually achieves that emotional purpose, who am I to question it? I didn't create music. I just love music, and that's it. I love complex music. And I think that says a lot. Rye music in its purpose, it's achieving in its purpose. And that by definition makes it good music, even if that sounds blasphemous.
Yeah.
I mean, older Rye music was actually really cool. Like older Cheb Khaled and older, like, well, not older, like Cheb Hasni stuff. It had some interesting musical stuff. Right now, it's not as interesting, but it does what it does. So I might not necessarily like it, but yet again, a lot of people don't like metal. So.
Yeah. It's about what the public wants, like the fans that are into that kind of music, and that's why it sells.
Exactly, and it speaks to them, because I think the problem with a lot of musicians like myself and who learn like music theory and try to get into complex music and try to, you know, work it like that, is we kind of disconnected from society because we are already the weirdos of the society. We're the nerds. And we always like act like crybabies. Why don't people like our music? And why do they like that stupid music? It's right there. We're not people persons. And it translates sometimes. Sometimes someone who's part of that society he's trying to speak to gets his message across. This is why complex music is listened mostly by other musicians and not people who are not musicians, except some rare cases.
Yeah, it's even the topics discussed and the language used is different. You can't speak to a society like using English. The population that actually understands English is very, very little, and few people would bother learning English to actually understand metal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, it is like that. And I get a lot of people telling me, like, why don't you sing in Arabic, or why don't you make simpler music or music that speaks to people, like a lot of people? And I say, I'm not interested in the masses, because if I wanted like a big chunk, like I've wanted 100 million views, I wouldn't be making metal in the first place. I would have been making something else. It's more about getting your message across to people like you. This is what some artists should focus on. That makes it of a better quality message instead of trying to speak to people you don't even understand in the first place.
Yeah. What do you think about the role that the authorities, the state in supporting art in general and music?
I think what a lot of people get wrong, and a lot of aspiring artists get wrong here, is they think that the government and the institutes of the government have it as a duty to support every artist out there here. And I think that's a wrong idea. Many of the great genres of music, especially, for example, if I take my genre of music, which is metal, on the contrary, the government was trying to stop it in the USA when it started. Or in England also, they tried to stop it. They didn't push it. And that's the thing. The power of like an artist in a genre rising doesn't come from the government. Government doesn't give you these things. Government doesn't give you a platform. You create a platform. I know it's difficult, but this is what separates the great from the people who just say, I want to do this and want to do this and never do anything. You create the things you need. You don't wait for somebody else to hand you these things. So, for example, in metal, they had to play small venues. A lot of people had the idea that big metal bands always played in front of tens of thousands of people. They all had like weekend clubs playing in front of 5 to 10 people every week and never get sick of it. And here you find yourself playing to 30 people and they say, there is no support. The government doesn't give us anything. They don't do anything for us. They try to stop us. Well, that's the idea. You're a struggling artist. You make for a better message that way, even if it's not as easy. But I think the idea of it not being easy is better, even if it makes it that a lot of people don't achieve their dreams. But like I said, it's not an equality thing. It's who wants it the most thing, because in the top levels, it's not, you can't have everyone be equal in it. It doesn't work like that way. Even if everybody would like it, I would like to make the same amount of money as Kanye West. It doesn't work that way, sadly. You just gotta strive for it. And here in Algeria, they don't have to give you anything. here in Algeria, the government actually feeds off the bigger name artists. When you make it big enough that the government and the institutions of the government start needing you, not you needing them. This is how it should go, because if we're gonna wait for them to give us rehearsal rooms, to give us concerts to play, to give us instruments, what's next? They practice our instruments instead of us? It's not their job. So I think the only thing we would want for them is maybe ease off the money stealing, money laundering stuff. And when we actually get something done, don't stop it, because sometimes they do that.
I absolutely love your mindset. That's like a neoliberal mindset, a capitalist mindset. I love it.
Oh God, the yeah. I mean, it's not like I don't necessarily would say I am a capitalist, but I think like because in music. Do you want to make art, or do you want to make money, or do you want to balance the two? Because if you want to make money, you have to start thinking as a salesperson, not as an artist in the same time, or get a manager to do it for you. If you want to make art, then just make art, and whatever happens, happens. But that's the thing, is people want to get famous and make a lot of money. So don't necessarily always think like an artist. Start thinking like a salesperson and think about the best ways to sell your product while being true to yourself, of course, because you don't want to become that greedy person nobody likes.
So what do you think an upcoming a guy just getting started in music would do not to get, you know, frustrated with the whole thing?
That, I think, trying to convince him or herself with that idea it's not a meritocracy. Like I said, nobody is going to give you anything, and anything you're going to achieve, you're going to get it by yourself, but also anything you're going to achieve, you're going to be really proud of. Like, to encourage you, just keep a simple idea in mind. It's all a journey. Enjoy the journey and don't care where you get, because it's the pleasure that makes for the quality of whatever you make. So take pleasure in every step and go with the wind. Don't try to fight it. Expose yourself, be out there, even if I'm an introvert, but like I developed this character, Danny, to be an extrovert against my personality, my own personality. Because that makes for a better way to sell your product and for a better way to get positive feedback or even constructive negative feedback. That way you can grow and you can know you're going forward. Because the worst thing you can do as an aspiring artist is isolate yourself completely and not get any feedback. Because it's communication. Art is communication. So you need reaction, because an artist, whatever you like it or not, feeds off the reaction of people of that art. So be out there. This would be my message. And don't give up, because if you fight hard enough, you're going to get what you want.
Yeah, and I remembered your posts from my group at how music helped sharpen your confidence, and you know, that post. Can you explain that to our audience?
What I started with is how learning how to sing basically helped me a lot, because I was extremely awkward when speaking. When I was a bit younger, I had this tiny voice. I couldn't get anybody to listen to me. And learning how to sing, it made my breathing better, because you start to learn to breathe with the diaphragm, which is muscles around your tummy or stomach, you might call it. And those muscles make it that you can push and control the air on your lungs better than you would if you were using the rib cage. So all that made for a more controlled voice. And a more controlled voice inspires confidence. The leaders have distinctive control voices full of authority. And learning how to sing, especially learning how to sing rock, has helped a lot with that. And once it helped, it starts affecting everything in your life. Like you would freak out if you knew how much the way you speak affects the way you think about things and the way you are socially. So if you are more on the dominant side, when you figure out this manner of speaking, you become better at giving speeches and getting people to listen to you, you start getting a more positive perception in life. And that can help you a lot also. It starts like snowball effect, and it grows to find yourself a different, much better, much more confident, stronger person without even realizing it. And music doesn't just help with a voice, it helps with everything else. I'm a person who suffers with ADHD sometimes, and learning how to play an instrument has helped me focus a lot and get things done more efficiently, because guitar, especially metal guitar, which I think might be the second hardest type of guitar playing to play compared to jazz, which I think is the most difficult one. But trying to focus on these things and get anything to be played with your fingers and your hands in the most efficient way possible, like 6 strings, 24 frets, 22 frets, and you have to make sure to play like a bazillion of them in a few seconds. So you start think about how your body works, to be in better contact with your body, to calm down, to focus, to practice, and learning that repetition legitimizes. And all these things make for a better work ethic for you as a person. And the way you progress in guitar is the same way you progress as a person. You sit down with yourself, you try to find things you're not doing right in your life, and you try to find the best, most pragmatic way to approach it and fix it.
I absolutely relate to what you're saying, because I'm not in the music industry, more like in the gym. The way the gym has made me a better person is unbelievable. You know, you have to learn how to do the exercises right. You have to learn the science behind building a program. You have to stay committed. You have to learn discipline. It helps you a lot. A hobby that you love helps you in all aspects of your life.
Exactly. This is, you grow as a person. I mean, some of the smartest people you will find, you find that they have some kind of hobby in which they are obsessed. For example, I heard, I don't know if it's a fact, that, for example, Albert Einstein played violin and he was kind of good at it. I don't know. I didn't find any like reliable information, and a lot of smartest scientists sometimes, who are the most renowned ones, usually play an instrument or work out or play a sport. It's interesting, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's mind-blowing, which is not interesting. Like, I swear.
Exactly. It's just, playing guitar and learning how to play drums, learning how to play bass, learning how to sing, and even learning piano not so long ago helped a lot. Like, I became a much better person. I'm not perfect. I still have a lot of things to fix, but I'm 25, I guess. Still got time, I hope.
Yeah, well, the fact that you put in so much work and so much commitment into it just like makes you much, much more confident in what you're doing and your abilities and the way you believe in yourself.
I mean, it does have another side, because for a good chunk of time, I guess around 2017, the end of it, 2018, it started having a negative effect. I started becoming a bit too cocky and a bit overconfident, I guess. started thinking, yeah, you know what? I'm the best at it all, and I can do it all better than everyone. And but then you have these moments where you get a wake up call. And for me, I think I had this client send me a song. I was all cocky about it. And I said, you know what? 48 hours, I'll send you the song recorded and played all perfectly and all. And I couldn't play it for the life of me. Like nothing. I felt like I was a beginner all over again. You get humbled. You remember that whatever you learn, you still have a lot to learn. And there's probably somebody out there better than you at it.
Yeah, that's why it is important to always be exposed to other people, because some other might show something that someone else is seeing.
Exactly. Especially there's the Dunning-Kruger effect. I don't know if you know it. So in this Dunning-Kruger effect, like the less you know about something, the more you think you're good at it.
Oh, yeah.
So the better you get at it, the less confident you think about yourself, you find yourself in it. So it's an interesting thing, because sometimes you find people who are terrible think they are gods of that field, and you find people who are extremely skilled and extremely humble who think they are not good at all.
Yeah, that's where philosophers say, the only thing I know is that I don't know anything.
Yeah, I agree with that notion. I mean, I'm a bit of an absurdist too, so that inspired my music, actually, being a bit of an absurdist, because I'm not a nihilist or an existentialist or anything like that. I don't identify with those, but absurdism and Kierkegaard and all that, it helped me, because a lot of my music, back to metal, and I think one of the problems about metal here locally in Algeria is that metal musicians take themselves way too seriously, I think that makes it that, especially that metal as a serious thing has died out. It's not like it used to be. There is no more of that shock element, especially when people can see you as a normal person on social media. So you can't be that extreme character, like that devil worshiping person. And be real, because people can see through the character. So the best way to counter it is admit how absurd all of it is. Like, I'm 25. How badass can I be? Just make a joke out of myself and play music I want. And I got reactions that I liked, because somebody who doesn't take himself too seriously then plays you something on guitar that takes a bunch of serious work to get done is a good contrast, and it makes for a more interesting, more entertaining thing to see. This is why my favorite artists usually are goofs who really don't take anything seriously. Also, my favorite comic book character is Deadpool. I don't know if you're a comic book
fan. Oh, I love Deadpool.
Yeah, that's my favorite character. He's an insanely skilled assassin and merc. But the thing is, when you see him as a person, he's a goofball.
Yeah.
That is who I identify with sometimes. So.
Yeah. Is it like a comic book? I've only seen the movies.
Oh, you should read the comic books. They are extremely funny. Sometimes much funnier than the movie itself.
All right, I will absolutely check them out, and yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, for local metal scene, I mean, I didn't say much about it, but I think another problem before we maybe wrap up is that there aren't enough musicians. If I told you in how many bands I played, you'd be shocked. I play, I think, like 4 or 5 bands, if not more, and I forgot them.
It's way too little.
Yeah, there are not enough musicians. For example, I am one of the few singers who can do the metal screams and the more softer singing, and bands sometimes need that. And so I found myself singing in way too many bands, and I don't get to have a replacement. And like, there is a good friend of mine who's our guitarist in the band Khorasan, who's Ramzi, who actually sings also and plays in way too many bands. And drummers as well. Like, you find a drummer playing in 7 bands easy. Why? Because they don't find other people. And mostly it's the older generation. All the musicians I play with in the metal scene are over 28 or something, except one guy called Ziri, which if he's listening, hi. he's a bass player, but the rest are all older and married and of older generation and of different work ethics. Because I think the youngsters here, there's a problem is they wait for us, the existing musicians in the scene, to hand them the torch ourselves and not come get it. Yeah. That's a problem. And we had like a wave of haters, and we still have one, I think. It's divided into 2 clans. They have this idea that like we're like making a monopoly of the metal scene. Like, why is it only you playing in every band? Why is it nobody else? Why don't you let people shine and all? I invite anybody right now, anybody who's listening to this podcast, send me a message right now, show me what you can do, and come take my place in any band you select. Just do it. Just work, have the work ethic, and be there and support the scene, make it grow. Because honestly, we're sick of people who say we're there and then never show up to rehearsal. And there were some stories of people actually never came into concerts. Like, they were supposed to play in those concerts and never showed up. So,
yeah, have the guts to stand up for what you're saying.
Exactly. Like, you want to shine. You want us to hand you the torch. Come get it and show us what you can do. Because I'm more than welcome to let people replace me. I don't want to play in 5 or 6 bands. I want to play in 1 or 2 max. I have a life. I don't, like, I barely get to rest at all. And I found myself also working as an audio engineer and mixing bands too. And there aren't any audio engineers except another one who mixes metal. It's called Dardwan from the band Lehel. There are 2 of us. How is that an industry? 2 of us, and he's a guitar player and vocalist, and I'm a guitar player and vocalist. So we're not dedicated audio engineers. So we have to create a community. We need people who do everything. We need people to write articles, people to do podcasts. We need people to take pictures. We need people to come to the shows and enjoy them. We need people to make the memes and people who to play the music. But we don't have that. Everybody wants to be the lead guitar player on stage, and nobody stands up for what he says. They're not dedicated. They're not passionate enough. They like to talk. That's the problem. They talk. It's all comments, and it's all, I bet I can do it better than he does, and he sucks. And I get accused a lot of doing playback and cheating. And it's okay. It's a compliment, I guess. I think people just sometimes feel bitter because they didn't have the same work ethics as some of us on stage. It's sad. I mean, we would love competition. I would love like to have somebody, for example, to be compared to and have like those debates. Oh, this one is better. No, this one is better. It would inspire me to work harder and inspire me to even like work with the other person and make something together and make 2 sides of fans happy. It just, we don't get to have that, and it's sad. It's very lonely on stage for us, and it's sad. And for people who say they don't have the means to do anything, it's a lie. It's bullshit. It's not. There is everything you need. You can make an album at home right now, like I did. Like, for example, my first album, Conflict, I had a crappy laptop with 2 gigs of RAM, and I had no microphone. I had just an external M-Audio sound card, which was super cheap. And I had a borrowed guitar and a cable I made myself. And the guitar pick, actually, I made it with old CDs and some scissors. And recorded the vocals with my old Samsung S3 Mini. I mixed it, and now that album is everybody on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you want it to be. And I even had some like people internationally. Actually, I had like an Italian magazine write a review about it and like it too. So that was with the cheapest way possible. And what did I do? I just learned at home. I wanted to do this. That's what I did. And there are people who maybe did much less with much less than I did, probably worked much harder than I did. But also we didn't wait like, oh no, the government should give us like a room or to rehearse and they should like give us instruments and they should book us concerts. No, you do things yourself. It's how it is.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing, Anabelic, because people always, you know, put things on hold because they don't have the means, they don't have tools, they don't have the experience. And I always tell my followers, like, Mishi, لازم يكون عندك everything to start. Start with whatever shit you have, and you will learn along the way. You will
get exactly.
More. Yeah. My podcast, the very first 10 episodes, were recorded on my phone. And بعد بش, I got an actual mic, and I know I can improve it in so many other ways. But I'm not using that as an excuse not to make my podcast.
Yeah, that's a great mindset, because you're gonna grow with time, and you find yourself with a whole studio doing something on the Joe Rogan level. Man, who knows? Like, you never know. You gotta start somewhere, and you can't just risk it on not having the right tools, because it's not the tools who make the person; it's the person who makes the tools.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally coming for Joe Rogan's ass.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching Joe Rogan a lot, especially with the DMT talk. Yeah, one DMT, bro. So, like what I was saying, for example, when I teach guitar, mostly, I tell them, I get a lot of people asking me, what should I do? Where should I start? Should I buy an expensive guitar, like a cheap guitar to start with? I tell them, get whatever guitar you like, pick it up. You like how it looks, you like how it is, it's probably good enough. It's not the 90s anymore or the 80s. Bad guitars are not as common as they were, and they are affordable. And then they ask me, like, what covers of songs should I learn, or what should I do? I tell them, what do you want to do? You want to be a cover artist, or do you want to make music? They tell me they want to make music, and I tell them it's simple. To practice making music, start making music right now. It's simple as that. And they tell me, no, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough music. Well, that's the idea. Start making music. You want to learn how to make an album. You're not going to learn how to make an album by learning other people's albums as much as you will by trying to make your own. You're going to learn much faster, because you're going to make much more mistakes instead of learning mistakes that were fixed. So this is the best way I could learn, because when I started learning, I didn't have internet at home. I had to go to the cyber cafe and like spend like 60 dinars or something. That's all I had. And I had to download tabs or a few videos and like burn them on a CD and get home and watch them and try to learn whatever 10 minutes of content I could get, and then start making stuff. And it helped me a lot, because thanks to it, for example, last year I managed to make that album, that EP, in 2 weeks. I wrote it, recorded it, mastered it, mixed it myself, and put it to release in 2 weeks. And I got much faster. I didn't need to hire anybody to do anything. So
you are such an inspiring person. I swear to God, we need more people like you.
I hope I inspire someone. I mean, that's kind of why I'm doing this right now. So I hope at least one person starts doing whatever they want to do.
So Algerian people are so depressed. You know, bullshit around them. We need to see more people actually doing shit and going places and achieving their dreams. We need that.
Yeah. I mean, there is more of a chance now than ever to get that exposure. I mean, it's not like the old days where the only content you get where it was from either magazines you could find or TV channels, or, you know, it was super limited. Now with the internet, you can find anything, any type of content you want. You just have to want it. So hoping maybe the algorithm fixes things. I'm noticing, I know people are very, very pessimistic about it, but I think we're actually getting a positive thing lately. Noticing a lot more people than I noticed ever before getting interested in things I didn't think people here would be interested in. It's good.
Yeah. And the people who are actually doing these things, I think they should hold the responsibility of promoting themselves and their ideas. We need more of a diversity. And you may actually have a people who would encourage you. Just take the chance.
What?
Where do you live?
What? Oh, well, right now at my parents' house, but I'm living currently in Algiers. In Benin, to be more precise. So that's where I'm renting there, and because I'm teaching there.
Yeah, cool.
I had to go to Algiers because that's where the metal scene is right now. Anything, anywhere else, it's dead. So the only metal scene left is in Algiers.
I was thinking of that too myself. I think if someone wants to get more shit done, achieve more things, should move into a bigger city like Algiers, Annaba, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you should. It's not a great place to live in. I mean, especially with rush hour, too many cars, too many people, especially if you're an introvert like me, I don't know. But if you want to get work done, it's a good place to start in. I guess that's the price to pay when living in a third world country. We still have a lot to fix. I mean, things may be moving forward, maybe moving backward in some other things, but you got to do with what you have. I mean, we can complain all day, but we got to be the people to fix it eventually. I mean, if we give up on doing things right now, we're not going to be the people later with enough power or influence to make things we wanted to be better, actually better.
Yeah, so I have a question. Do you think, Billy, like famous artists, like would have really powerful political influence?
I'm divided on that. I think artists would have like a strong political influence to some degree, but I'm noticing a shift in that. I think because if you notice with the whole Trump thing, a lot of artists, actors, and very, very powerful people in those businesses actually starting to support Trump and losing fans instead of converting fans, if you notice.
Yeah.
So I don't think fans are as influenced or are not prone to being influenced as they used to before. I think people somewhat think for themselves to a certain degree. I mean, let's not be too optimistic. But I don't know. I'm still, because I can't have an insider's view, because like I said, metal and I'm at a weird stage of my fame. It's like I'm famous and not famous in the same time. So it's weird. I can't really, really tell how it would really be like. But from what I'm seeing is, I don't think it's as big of an influence as one would think. It's just perceived influence, that's it.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that too, because, you know, Kenyan fans who literally worship their favorite artist, while on the other hand, the cancel culture is insane. You just gotta...
Oh, yeah.
It, would say one opinion that people don't agree with and your whole career could end?
Yeah, I mean, there's something like my father, like my father and I were talking about this, I think, over dinner last night or day before, I don't remember. But he told me something, like he told me that the moment you get famous to a certain degree, your public persona no longer belongs to you. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. And it's true. You can't truly be yourself and not be canceled. Because let's be honest, we all have one thing or two that would get us canceled in our beliefs. So
yeah, and I find myself covering that up every time I try to talk to my community on Instagram. That I find myself being Shreya fake, just not to upset people.
Yeah, and that's the business side of things. This is what I said earlier. You have to be good at selling your product. So sometimes you have to sugarcoat it a bit.
And you gotta remain true to yourself, Danny.
Exactly. I mean, if it starts getting against who you are, it's just stop. It's not worth it because you're not gonna be happy.
And what about your family? Has your family always been supportive in your career?
At first, well, like any normal parents with any double digit IQ or up would think is they were not too happy about it because it's not a sustainable career. Let's be honest. There is more chances you end up broken homeless than you making it and being rich in it. But I think later on they started noticing that I was not dumb. I was like thinking of other plans and doing other things on the side, and they started seeing like some response. I mean, I'm one of the rare people actually who has both his parents friends with him on his main Facebook. So
wow, I blocked my parents.
Yeah, and they share my stuff, they like my stuff, they comment at times too.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, so I'm proud to have that type of relationship, I guess. I mean, it wasn't that great at first, but that's the thing. I fought hard for it and I stood up for what I knew was right. I wasn't, because I try to make calculated choices at times, and this one was a calculated one. I know what I want to do and where I want to get and how I want to end up.
Yeah, the same.
So I have a set goal.
The same with parents is all about making them trust you, like be responsible, like show them that you're not dumb, you know what you're doing, and you have a safe plan in case things didn't work out for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I mean, I at some point I went a bit too YOLO, and I had an idea like that. If you have a backup plan, you're already thinking about failing.
Yeah,
that was a bit dumb, but the risk and the whole stress about not being allowed to fail kind of helped. In a way, but I don't recommend this to anyone. Don't do this. It's
yeah,
stupid.
Me too. Like, Anna, I don't see myself as a doctor. It's not my thing. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. So I keep it. But I found myself in medical school, and I thought a lot about quitting and, you know, doing the things that I like. But with time, I was just like, why can't I do both? I can have my safe plan, and at the same time, I will work on things that I actually enjoy.
Yeah, that's I admire that a lot. I mean, I don't find that a lot here. So that's a very admirable trait and a very great thing to do.
Oh, thank you.
Like the whole goal thing. Like, for example, for myself, and which I think it's weird, but I'm starting to saying publicly, for example, I know that I myself or whatever band I'm playing with, no matter how big we get, we're not gonna peak for the potential of the local metal scene. Like, for example, my personal goal is setting up the pillars for whatever next generation in the metal scene will come. This is what I want to do, because everything, like, there is nothing built here. I want to build the pillars for whatever band artists that will come after us. They will take it to the full potential. That's what I want to happen. This is why I try to be as helpful as I can. This is why I share lessons for free. I do I give things that I can give, like whatever, guitar or anything. And I just want to see that happen, because with the state we're in, we're not going to be a big industry right now, like in the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to take a while. So just want to build it.
Yeah, hopefully I absolutely have the exact same goal, just not like in the music industry. My thing is, I want to shift l'aqliya antenna from being a collective society to being a society that focuses on the individual, on liberty, on you know, these sorts of things. And I know I can't in a big way, but at least I will change the mindset of people who are young enough to actually do that thing when that time comes.
Yeah, that's so we share the same idea in this, I guess. It's what we need, I think. This is what we need.
Yeah, before this, I didn't think I would relate to you this much, but we really do have a lot of things in common.
Yeah, I would say I'm surprised, but I'm not, because I see how you do content creating. I kind of figured we'd be similar in some ways. So.
Yeah. And what do you think about how people associate metal and rock with Illuminati? Do you even believe in Illuminati?
I find it funny. I kind of like this because it's the last thread we have of the magic of metal. Because that's the thing. The magic of metal is the outsider's view. Because people are scared of it. When they see it outside, that's the idea. Because metal is for the weirdos, for the strange people out there. And as for, do I believe in it? Not necessarily 100%. I think for a secret society, they would suck because they have like 7 billion people know about them. It's not that great of a secret society. So no, I'm not much of a believer of the whole Illuminati thing. I think we see how the economy is controlled in front of our eyes. It's simple. You don't need a secret society. It's all done in front of us. And just people need to believe in things that there are like mystical, like that are like ghost stories. They love these things. They love to be scared. It's entertaining to them, and it gives their lives meaning. Like when you find people here with, you know, the whole sihr thing and jnun and all that, it's entertaining to a lot of people, because in many cases, just the placebo effect is just some people just imagining things or trying to make that seem rational with, for example, a set of events that happen. For them, they need it to be that way. And in a way, like, I'd like people to be way more logical, but also I don't want to take that away from some people, because some people really have uninteresting lives, and that's the only way for them to make it interesting. It's sad, but some people need those things. I mean, you take these things away, they're going to replace you with something else.
Yeah.
Just like flat earth happened.
Thank you for the public blasphemy. We can get beheaded for that.
Wait, I didn't say they don't exist. I said placebo in most cases. That's what I said. I was careful with my words, don't worry.
So I think we put not an hour of talking, which I did not feel at all. I think
same thing.
Yeah, we should end this here if you do not have anything more to add.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, anything else to add would be like extra details and
We should this is not going to be the last one. We should do more podcasts and talk about different topics.
Yeah, I'd love that. I would really love that.
Yeah, so thank you for being here today, Danny.
Thank you for inviting me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Take care. Thank you.